Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Always grateful to be on with you and share the wonderful guests over the last, in my seventh year. Crazy. What happened? Thank my team at Supertalk. Also thank my pals at Superior Catfish, homegrown and produced where else? In Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. There's Superior Catfish. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. And so many wonderful things that celebrate our Mississippi like no other. Trust me, plan a road trip. Visit Mississippi.org to find out more. All right, today's guests discovered their friendship through the art of culinary and love of Mississippi. Took it to another level. Now they're business partners with one of my favorite spots in the Delta, Nola's in Indianola. They both have been on my show in recent years. However, that was separately and before they joined Spatulas, if I can say. Is that funny? Maybe not. Guest one was way out in California, where my oldest son presides, close to L.A., but she was, I think, more in Northern California, while being a chef and partner at Magnolia Southern Kitchen in Wood Colony. She also has been the chef and director and real food evangelist for Hope Farm and Kitchen, powered by world-renowned chef Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. I love him. She has maintained leadership positions in Michelin star restaurants, studied in Europe and the United States, has cooked for rock stars, politicians, corporate leaders, you name it. Because when she's not cooking for famous folks, she's working in school gardens and urban farms and growing delicious fare for teachers and kids alike. But now she's moved to the Mississippi Delta. He took over Nola of Indianola years back, and every time we've dined there, he's there. Having them both on today, I'm really looking forward to this and hearing firsthand how their relationship started with food and it blossomed into a full-blown partnership. And how they truly have become family, like brothers and sisters, chosen, that is. So let's get to it right now. Love talking food and the art of it every chance I get, and the passion and hard work it takes with Chef Trace Teddy Vega and Chef Chris Grant. So, hey, guys, what's up?
It's another day. Ready to rock out some food. I'm going to work on she had a few of the king cakes left over. Huh. And I'm actually going to turn those into bread pudding today.
Of course you are. I mean, why would you not? All right, let's back up for a second. We were there just before Mardi Gras. We were thinking about some dessert, and you guys go, no, 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 no. And so we went back to the kitchen, and all of a sudden there was a production line of king cakes. That was the best king cake we all ever had. We were talking about it on the way home. And then Gwen ended up buying them from the Mississippi Gift Company because you led us to the water for our kids who were in New York, L.A., and Jackson, and some friends as well. And they all reached out and said, that's the greatest king cake we've ever had. Can you make this once a year? Because, you know, you got to go exercise afterwards. You know how good they were, right?
Well, I'm hoping that they were. We tried our best to have them be really delicious. So, yeah, king cake season is over. And so I took a little vacay. Yeah. I'm actually in California at the moment.
Oh, you went back home for a moment.
No. Home is Indianola, Mississippi.
Oh, I love that. I apologize. Yeah. I apologize for that.
But I came back to... See my kiddos and hang out for a minute.
What's family life for you when you talk about your kiddos? What's going on there?
Let's see. Well, five boys.
And, wow.
Yeah, three of them are in California. And then I've got one in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and another who is currently in Las Vegas, Nevada, works at UNLV as their OC. So
get out of here.
That's pretty cool. So, yeah.
He's the offensive coordinator there?
He is.
You know, we used to go at the ACM Awards were there. I was a really good friend of the late, great Charles Spoonhour, and he was the coach for them before he was at St. Louis Billikens, and he would give us the gym. Me and my buddies would play 2-on-2 in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was part of our tradition, and we had so much fun, though. But that's awesome. So you guys obviously were trying to have a girl. Is that what the deal was with five boys?
Two of the boys are adopted. They were my ex-husband's football players. So the two of them are adopted. But yeah, I really did want a girl, but that apparently I only make boys. So that but I finally did get a girl when I moved to Mississippi. My little sister, who my parents adopted late in life, came to live with me as my parents had passed on. And she's 17. So not only did I get a girl, well, she's 18 now, but not only did I get a girl, but I have a teenage girl, one than any chef can have.
Moving to Mississippi, you're going to leave a lot of people that you loved and you worked with, and obviously family. How difficult was that decision? I moved back to Mississippi, but I grew up here after 20 years of being in Music City, and it was the greatest move we ever made. On paper, it made no sense as far as my career, but as a family and as a dad, and then on paper now, it made all the sense in the world. You know, you sort of go with blind faith. Was Chris that convincing?
Yeah, he really was. Chris said, yeah.
It was the food. It wasn't me. It was the food. Every bit of it was the food. She was like, oh, this is the best gas station fried chicken I've ever had. I'm moving here.
That's just so funny. So you, when I had you on last time, you talked about this, about you doing sort of a Mississippi-inspired thing, obviously having the Magnolia in your restaurant's title, the name of it. So take me, first of all, well, Chris, Take me, first of all, how you guys met.
We were in an online group on Twitter probably 13 or 14 years ago, and it was probably 20, 25 chefs, and we would all get on there and all day long and just chit-chat, bounce ideas off each other, kind of collab. Some of us got together, and she got 10 people out of that, well, 9 people out of that group, including herself, and she was doing the Jamie Oliver Throwdown on the Farm in Oakland. And we were raising awareness for children to learn how to garden, do this and that. And she said, would you be willing to come out to Oakland and do this event? She said, it's going to be 10 chefs. We're going to kind of do a little competition and all expenses paid. You just come out here. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So went out there. We did the competition. And after it was over with, I stayed for maybe a day or two, and we hung out. She took me all over North California, saw the redwoods, ate the most amazing food. And after I came home, it was just every day we were on the phone, just chit-chatting and talking. And I mean, then the next thing you know, we're best friends, and she's coming out to Mississippi 3 times a year. And I'm going out to California, when time would allow. And
look what happened. Isn't it amazing how food, well, the arts in general have a magic about them. There's no filters when it comes to celebrating music and poetry and food and whatever it is, paintings or whatever. You have to be totally open and vulnerable, right? So you sort of open yourselves up, and there's just no filters. And I think that allows us to develop relationships and bonds quicker than any other possible. I mean, it's a love affair, right? It really is. You know, it's insane.
Absolutely.
Chef Trace, when you name your place and it's got Magnolia in it, back to that question, you've been in Michelin star restaurants, been a big part of Michelin star restaurants, talking Jamie Oliver, world class. What was it about Mississippi food and cuisine that had you go, I want to do that in California?
I think it's just the way it connects with people. This food essentially takes people to a place. It takes people to a memory. And we would have people come in the restaurant there that were from Mississippi or Alabama or, you know, surrounding states. And, you know, I had a guy actually like crying because he was like, my grandmother used to make this. You're making me so happy right now. Mm. I think, you know, we can have all of the pretty things that we put on plates with tweezers and all the rest of that, which, by the way, Chris or I have never done. But the food that takes you someplace, that takes you to a memory that just like hits you in your core, that's what I'm interested in doing. I'm interested in making people happy. And, you know, that's really what the food of the Delta does, not just Mississippi, but the Delta specifically. It takes you there. And there's such history behind it. And there's reasons for everything. It's just inspiring. And it's awesome. And it makes me happy to cook it.
Yeah, well, you guys are both inspiring. Let's take a quick break. Chef Trace Teddy Vega, Chef Chris Grant of Nola's in Indianola. Speaking of anything you want on your plate, come lunchtime, I'm thinking Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. It's produced right here in Mississippi. Come on. I'll be right back with my guests. I'm Steve Azar.
At Keegan
Sign on the door says down home cooking.
I'm strolling down a Mississippi Minute today.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
When it comes to catfish, there's catfish. And you know what? There's Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Made in Macon, Mississippi. Come on. It's right by Hell State. That's what we're talking about. And visit Mississippi.org. You plan your road trip, you'll be proud of your Mississippi. Plan a food trip. And that's what we're talking about today. And in between food, there's going to be music, and then there's going to be all these crazy art forms, and that's what VisitMississippi.org celebrates. So we want guests from all over the world to come visit. They do. It's our leading industry in Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken, and there are billions of dollars that come into our state because of what today's guests do as well. Chef Trace Teddy Vega, Chef Chris Grant of Nola's in Indianola. All right, let's talk about this. You talk about Mississippi food. When I was in Nashville, I was able to eat a little healthier, right? And maybe because I was in my fighting days, right? You know, my competitive days of being on the biggest stages and all that. And maybe that was in my mind. And I still want to stay in the ultimate shape. But when I did move back to Mississippi, I realized, well, man, that's good. But with all of that comes extreme discipline. And you guys are talking about you're talking about children, letting them know early how to eat healthy. What can we do with our diabetic situation down here? Obesity happens. One comes first, probably before the other. But it's, you know, it's sort of in the water down here, and it's been something that's been going on for a long time. How can we help prevent that from happening via our food? And is that something y'all been thinking about at all? And, you know, Chef Trace, what are you thinking?
No, definitely. I think actually Chris is a testament to that, right? One of the biggest problems that we have as a society on a whole is convenience. Not just in Mississippi, but all over the country. It is commonplace now to, eat out of boxes and cans that have ingredients first that you can't even read. Big first step in that is, you know, cooking from whole, real ingredients. Learning about, yes, we can enjoy all the things that, you know, that are delicious to us, but just learning and understanding, like, actually how to cook, I think is great. And also how to cook with deep flavor that doesn't necessarily involve some of the things that would cause us to gain that Mississippi 20 that everybody warned me about when I moved to Mississippi. By the way, I'm probably a little fluffier, but that's okay too. I love me just the way I am.
You're a beautiful lady. And I know I'm looking at Chef Chris Grant right now, and he's always in shape. He's a lean, mean fighting machine. I don't know how he does it.
6 years ago, I was not. I was 100 pounds heavier.
Yeah, I remember.
Was, pre-diabetic. I had high cholesterol. I had all these problems. And you got to decide, do you want to shove a bunch of pills down your throat or do you want to do it naturally? And I said, no, I don't want pills. So I did it naturally and I lost 100 pounds and I've maintained that.
How difficult is that for you to do? Or is it zero difficulty because you get to look at yourself, you get to feel good? I mean, you know, what's your daily routine now of maintaining?
I eat very strict Monday through Saturday. Sunday, I kind of give myself a little bit of what I want, but I try not to go overboard with it.
Can we be honest?
Be honest.
About the Sunday part?
Yeah, let me hear it. I want to know what happens on Sunday. That's what I want to know.
I'll eat a Domino's pizza on Sunday.
That's what I'm talking about. But usually on Tuesdays, he'll admit to me that he may or may not have raided the fridge where we keep.
Where you keep what, Chef? Where you keep what?
All the desserts at NOLA. There's a fridge that desserts kind of are, you know, ready to go. And he's like, well, I ate such and such, Bundy brownie.
But that ain't right. I may or may not. So it could be or may not be, because like this weekend I did not raid the restaurant dessert pantry. I actually stuck to a little bit of peanut butter. So
I like peanut butter. Now let me ask y'all this about peanut butter. I have a question. So my wife buys the organic whatever it is, you know, and rather than Skippy or Jif or Peter Pan, and so I grew up on that. And I'm learning to like it. I guess it's less sugar. What is the difference when it comes to caloric and being good for your body? Is there a difference?
Well, yeah, it's way less sugar, but it's very bland to me. And I actually eat the same thing. I eat the organic peanut butter that you got to stir together.
Yeah.
And it's very bland, but I mix a little bit of honey in there, which is a natural sugar. Mix a little bit of honey in there. It sweetens it back up. It doesn't put you in a diabetic coma. So
you know what, you and I do the exact same thing. I mix it. I just spread it on the bread like that. I'll put the honey underneath and then I'll put that peanut butter on top and just spread it. But it is the game changer, and I'm learning to do some of these things. But I look at all the oil on top of the peanut butter and I'm going like, well, that can't be good. So is all that oil just mixed in a little bit better? And Peter, you know, in the bigger name brands that people are usually getting versus the organic, is there the same amount of oil in peanut butter and all of it?
Yes, it's all. So the organic is nothing but peanuts and salt. So the oil in there is natural oils. You're not having any kind of palm oil or anything added to it. Whereas like Jif, when you read the ingredients list, there's probably 15 ingredients, whereas you look at the organic and it's two ingredients, salt and peanuts. So
referring to and the fact that there's so many ingredients that are put in to make things shelf stable or to, you know, enhance the flavor or, you know, hydrogenate the peanut butter, for instance, to get it all to not separate. There's agents that they need to put in there to have that happen. So when you start looking at labels and say, okay, this is peanut salt, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what you.
All right. I got a question. Chef Trace, I'm going to throw this at you real quick. I was recently with, we went skiing, came back in one piece. Hallelujah. We were in Whistler, Canada. And one of our friends is a doctor. He's on the show 1,000 Pound Sisters. He's a bariatric robotic surgeon, Dr. Eric Smith. He's been on my show a few times, and he was talking about he's getting in a thing called Food Fight, where Morgan Freeman and was it Arnold Schwarzenegger, are they the two faces for this? Anyway, they're put the guy that was Mark Cuban's partner is wanting to leave his mark, and he wants to do it with helping the next generation of, you know, coming up the pike, the kids eat better. It's all about food, right? And so they were talking about in one particular item that's on a fast food menu, I'm not going to mention the place, there's 25 ingredients. And in Europe, there's 3. I mean, is that true?
And what the heck could it be?
Yeah, I mean, Europe has different, you know, I grew up there, but it's very different standards for what is allowed in our food and not allowed. We're very liberal with what we allow in our food in the United States. You know, particularly some of the fast food chains, the amount of meat that is actually meat and those types of things.
Don't tell me that.
Learn about. So, you know, that's, those are the things that we have to be conscious about and we have to educate each other on. And, you know, we can enjoy all of the wonderful food that the Delta has to offer, but let's make it the actual food and not all of the ugly bits.
That sounds like it's an uphill climb because there are obviously preservatives and everything that's going into these things. The fact that you can have three ingredients in one thing and it's the same thing you're serving and 25 in another, that's almost like, what do we have, Teflon in it? I mean, that's just crazy. Let's take a quick break. Speaking of Teflon, throw the Teflon away and get you a black iron skillet and grab you some Superior catfish and blacken it up. That's what I'll do right now. I'm telling you right now, there's catfish. There's Superior catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Produced here in Mississippi. Come on. Not over, you know, in Taiwan or somewhere, which is great that they have it, but I wish they would keep theirs there and we could just feed Americans Mississippi catfish and the rest of the world. It's better. It's better. And visit Mississippi.org. We're celebrating that today. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar with Chef Trace Teddy Vega and Chef Chris Grant of NOLA in Indianola. Call them and plan your reservation.
She's a pretty white dress, those faded blue jeans, a single word, and all it means. Gives her heart and soul to everything she does. My baby's tender and tough. Tender and tough. I'm still trying to find my way.
Up to $20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Into segment three, I've survived segment two. Well, Chef Trace Teddy Vega and Chef Chris Grant of NOLA and Indianola have survived it. I do have an album called Indianola, and everybody thought that I was from Indianola once that record came out. Oh, you're from Indianola. And I just said, you dang right, I'll take it. I love my Delta. I love every town in the Delta. Every single town just about gave me a stage to learn to play, just like our chefs today have had kitchens to learn to get better at their craft, create great cuisine like they do at NOLA's. These two have teamed up from a friendship that started on Twitter, and look what happens. I just think this is just, it's just awesome to hear. Speaking of anything awesome, you want it on your plate, go to superiorcatfish.com, produced in Macon, Mississippi. What else should I say? And visit Mississippi.org, a shining example of planning a good road trip. And you can stop today or tomorrow or next week in Indianola and let the two chefs on my show today know that we sent you. You listen to the show, you go check it out, stay in a hotel, hang out, go to the B.B. King Blues Museum, go out to Club Ebony afterwards where B.B. had purchased, met his second wife. I shot my documentary of down at the liquor store there, made a complete record in that club, historic club. There's a lot going on there in Indianola. So plan a trip, visit Mississippi.org. We'll be very happy. All right, chefs, I'm going to do something really, really stupid here. Let me go. Hold on. Wait, let me see something, because you did ask me, Chris, we already talked about. Oh, okay. So, you know, David Letterman had the 10, what, 10 stupid things, top 10 stupid things or something back in the day. I'm going to do a little equivalent generic version of that, my own. But there's some questions in here that were really good. And Chef Trace, the toughest decision you ever made when it came to people in your restaurant that worked for you, I'm guessing one of these was recent leaving, closing the place up, that you employed people and coming to the Mississippi Delta and teaming up with Chef Chris Grant. So, but you may go, no, there was something way tougher. For you, toughest decisions you've ever had to make in your world of cooking?
Oh, gosh. I think really the toughest decision, really, leaving and coming to Mississippi was not a tough decision. It was something that was just kind of like made complete sense. But I think the toughest decision really is when a lot of times you'll have customers that are rather demanding, and that's great because we should all be demanding in our food. But I think learning to be able to balance, you know, taking a certain amount of abuse from people and standing your ground was something that was really tough for me. And, you know, Chris always says now for me to go and kind of chat with anybody that may or may not be, you know, displeased or have a question and that sort of thing, because I really have learned over time how to listen and be empathetic and try to offer solutions rather than, you know, kind of leading with ego and having a fit, which a lot of chefs do, because it's in our blood to be very firm about, you know, what we do. It's our art, right? This is our expression, our art. So when somebody, you know, wants to change things up and make it their own, or they're, you know, I didn't like the way that this was, or they, you know, it, sometimes that's a little difficult. So I think the toughest decision was to learn how to deal with that based on having a good customer experience versus having, you know, it be about your ego.
My daughter is, as we speak right now, is taking her practical for fish at culinary school in New York, and she's about to go into an externship with a 2-star Michelin restaurant. She stodged at, I guess when you say stodge, you go for a day and you sort of do that. And she was offered a couple good, externships that she'll go do for a couple months. She talked about this one place that if anybody watched the show, The Bear, right? It was insane behind the scenes. It was going crazy. People yelling at each other. And she said this one chef was just, she was giving everybody grief. And then she said the next place was the total opposite and all that. She said they both had their purpose and she could tell how the team would react to both chefs that were totally different on the spectrum as far as how they handled, you know, their emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is it like in the kitchen for you? And then Chef Grant, you as well, because I want to get to a thing as far as how do you motivate your staff on a daily basis to bring it every single night? So consistency is the one thing I've always noticed at NOLA's, right? Very, very, very consistent. I feel so warm and it just, it's inviting and just, I don't know what's going on behind those doors though. So a lot of questions and a lot of things, but what is it like for you, Chef Chris Grant, behind those closed doors that we're not getting to see?
Well, we're very big on treating our staff like family. We don't treat them like staff for the most part, but with family, sometimes you got to be stern with them and let them know that you need something, you need it now, without raising your voice. So I've learned how to be stern, but I've also learned how to treat my staff like family. And there's nothing we wouldn't do for anybody that works for us. I mean, we love everybody that works for us. We treat them like they're our children, our sisters, our brothers, our wives. Well, not our wives, but, you know, we treat them like family. We show them that we love them. But at the same time, when something needs to be done, and I've said it once and I have to say it again, I let them know that I need it and I need it done now.
Right.
Without cussing, because I've worked for folks that'll cuss you out right there,
exactly,
just like that, and I never like that. And I'm more of a, if I need to have a talk with you after work, we're going to go to my office and sit down and have a talk about it. We're not going to sit there and scream at each other in the kitchen, because I mean, ultimately, it's my way or the highway, or Trace's way or the highway. But so just a little bit of love goes a long way, and treating people like they're actually worthwhile being in your place goes a long way, too. So
I take pride in the fact, and the only way I can do this now is everybody goes, what's some of your greatest accomplishments? And I say it's not the art itself. It's the fact that I've had folks retire from my band. I mean, we've been doing it a long time. And once I found the guys that became the guys, I mean, one of my guys has been with me 28 years now, one 22 and one 19. The other couple, you know, either, you know, well, two of them just retired. So one is fishing right now as we speak in a boat in Nashville. And so I've been doing it a long time, but I take pride in the fact that I must have been treating them pretty well. Right. And that consistency of being able to handle situations when the hits weren't perfect, you know what I mean? And we were struggling, we were fighting for chart position, and it didn't quite work out like it needed to work out. And it affects your year, it affects the way you act. And I really am happy at the way I've handled and maneuvered adversity when it came to a family on a bus together, you know what I mean? So I'm grateful for having the patience of Job. And obviously prayer makes a big difference in your lives. I know y'all both feel the same way. Prayer fixes a whole lot of things, and it can, people say take 24, I just take a prayer, and then it soothes me and calms me down, and it gives me clarity. It always gives me clarity. Chef Trace, for you in the kitchen, have you had some crazy experiences, and has any of that helped you become who you are behind those closed doors?
Oh, you definitely learn the way that you're treated. As you're, you know, working your way up in the kitchen, the way that you're treated teaches you what not to do and what to do. I mean, I literally had a chef who would throw things, and it didn't matter if going to be the if you were in the line of fire, even if you weren't the offending culprit. You know, I had my ear buzzed a number of times with a skillet. You know, I also learned about equality in the kitchen as well. And I think that is, you know, there's kitchens are such diverse places, particularly in California, where you have, you know, folks that are, you know, Latino, you have folks that are, you know, just from all walks of life, learning about each other's culture, learning, you know, certain phrases in different languages and those types of things really makes it more like family. And, you know, particularly now, with Chris, because we very much both have the same kind of style and idea about how we want our kitchen to be run. We can be frank with each other. You know, there's a lot of laughing and joking around as well, and you know, side eyes and that sort of thing to the whole kitchen staff, where it's like with a look, we know exactly what we're saying. You really just learn how to treat people by the way that you've been treated. So I'm thankful for those experiences, you know, particularly in Europe as well, where it's very different kitchen environment. It's like New York on crack, basically. So whatever your daughter is experiencing out there, I can tell you that if she has the opportunity to go over to Europe, tell her to buckle up, buttercup.
We're talking food today. Go to superiorcatfish.com. It's produced right here in Mississippi. Come on. Indianola, Mississippi. That's the place I'm talking about right now, and it's making me hungry. I'll be right back with my guest. I'm Steve Azar.
Up to $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey, folks. Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, I'm Gary.
She's so
soft candlelight. She's a good old fight.
She's saving warm. Catfish, there's catfish. And you know what? There's Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com, made in Macon, Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. You plan your road trip, you'll be proud of your Mississippi. Chef Trace Teddy Vega, Chef Chris Grant of Nola's in Indianola. Chris, let me ask you this. Chef Chris, do you know who that person is before you do it? Because you can just tell when they walk in. Is it just a guessing game?
Sometimes you know when they walk in the door, because they walk in the door hell bent on trying to tell you how to do your job. But then sometimes they'll sit there quietly to the very end and then they'll let you have it. So you gotta learn how to deal with some people. I'm not real great with that, because my mama's full-blooded Cajun, so sometimes my temper tends to shine. But I try to show grace where grace is needed.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you gotta show me a little grace too.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. Let me just say this: that speaking of your mom's background, now I know why I want to take a bath in the butter that you put on the trout that I get. No, I get the flounder. I get the flounder every time. And now I know why I want to take a bath in it, because I know where your mom's from. There you go. Just want you to know that. That's how good that is. But I like to dip it in there because I'm acting like I'm getting less calories. But you know, by the time that the dang bowl's empty with all the yumminess, I realize that, well, I could have just had it on top. So, but that's my way of, acting like I'm eating healthier. I just want you to know that.
I don't think butter's bad for you. I eat butter 3 times a day at every meal. And
you do not.
I do. I eat a lot of butter.
How can you do that? I mean, because I've always felt like, well, if I watched it and to do olive oil instead of butter, that maybe I got a better shot of just really trying to stay at the weight I want to be at. So y'all are both telling me, you agree with that, Chef Trace?
Well, it works for Chris. I'm a fan of butter. But Chris specifically prescribes to a carnivore approach to his eating. And part of that is, he can have a side of butter with it. And it works for him. You know,
no bread, no sugar, no vegetables, no carbs, protein only.
Come on.
Yeah, that's 97% of my diet.
Oh, so you're doing, is that the Atkins diet or is it a version of it?
Well, it's a version of it. It's the carnivore diet, which is kind of a new thing, but it's more of an autoimmune diet, which I have 2 autoimmune diseases, and it really helps me keep that in check. So it's.
Did you find that out when you were wanting to lose weight and get yourself? Was there something that you realized you had a couple of these autoimmune diseases, and that was affecting how you digested food and your diet in particular?
It was a lot of research. It was, I wanted to lose weight, of course, to correct cholesterol, blood pressure, and diabetes, but also I'd been suffering from rheumatoid arthritis for over 20 years. And, I just got diagnosed with another one 1.5 years ago, and it really just kind of seems to keep them in check. So it kind of all was a trifecta, and it all kind of worked out together. So.
You know, you're reminding me of my guitar player. He was my guitar tech for years and became my tour manager, Chris Schultz. And Chris has had over 200 and maybe 50-ish kidney stones. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine in your life having over 250 kidney stones? But it was diet related. And knock on wood, he hadn't had them in years, because they finally figured out what was going on in his diet. We're all built a little different, and we're all made to be able to consume different things. I'm with Chef Trace. I can't eat butter 3 times a day. It's not working out. It's not going to work out, but you can, and I love that. Well, a Mississippi Minute can only go so long. I had about 20 other really dumb questions to ask you. Maybe we'll have you guys on again later. I know you're busy. I know today you get back at it. Nola's opened Tuesday through Saturday.
That's right.
You take Sunday off, which I've been wanting y'all to do Sunday brunch, but you won't do it for me, but that's okay. And then you take off Mondays, because nobody's cutting hair or cooking on Mondays, usually in the restaurant business. So y'all have y'all's 5 days a week, and y'all go hard. So folks, check out Nola in Indianola. When you get there, you can say, did Steve Azar send you? And you can say, dang right. And when you leave, you're going to, I expect some emails somewhere or something that's going to say how great of an experience it was, because you'll go back and back again. And now the power of having two great chefs as one, Chef Trace Teddy Vega and Chef Chris Grant at NOLA's, it's a magical thing. And what even makes it more magical is the fact that these two love each other. I mean, they are brothers and sisters out of choice, and that's a beautiful thing. And you feel it when you walk in the door, and you're going to feel it every year when you get a king cake now. And no telling what Chef Trace is going to decide to do next time, but I can tell you one thing. That was the best king cake I've ever had, and hell to the little baby that's in it. Anyway, you guys are the best. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much, and blessings to you both, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
All right. Catfish. There's Catfish. There's Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Produced right here in Mississippi. Visit Mississippi.org. Has a big old smile on his face. We're talking food in Indianola. NOLA, that is. We'll see you later. I'm Steve Azar. Really appreciate our two chefs joining us today. Woo! Later on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.